Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Did you know the team to score last has won the Super Bowl each of the last 13 years? If you're looking to enhance your big game betting experience, visit wt.buzz/sb57props for Wager Talk's annual party prop sheet, Ralph Michaels' historical prop betting result and betting tips from your favorite handicapper. And if you're looking to add some wagering entertainment for your gathering, download and print out Super Bowl party prop sheet, which features a number of easy to answer, easy to follow questions to keep everyone engaged from the coin toss to the final whistle. Follow Wager Talk on Twitter during the game as we tweet out the results as they happen. Visit wt.buzz/sb57props for all the details.
Hey guys, the NHL is back, and that means we are back right here on Wager Talk TV with another episode of Puck Time. Happy to be back. I feel really refreshed. I'm looking forward to hopefully making some money in the second half of the NHL season. Lots of haters out there with lots to say about the All-Star game and the All-Star skills competition. I think I'm more of an optimist. I thought it was okay. I watched a little bit of it, had some fun betting on some stuff and enjoying myself. But I'll tell you what, I'm excited for the trade deadline to approach. I'm excited for the second half of the season and happy to be back here on Wager Talk TV with you, Carm. What's going on, Carm? How was your weekend, man?
Weekend was quiet, man. I hated the All-Star game. I didn't watch it at all. I did not watch a minute of the All-Star game. Didn't watch the skills competition. Didn't watch the Pro Bowl, which was flag football. Didn't watch the Pro Bowl skills competition. I literally just watched Netflix, stayed inside because it was like minus 20 outside. Didn't watch any of it. Updated some spreadsheets on NHL in second half and team schedules and did more work than play stuff. I just listen, it's so different now, the All-Star game. I liked it the way it used to be. You just you brought the best players, you put them on two teams, you let them play. The scores were 16-14. It was pond hockey, and that was it. You could bet on a team, you could bet on over 28 goals or whatever the heck those numbers would be. And it was better that way. I don't know. It's too commercialized, but it's what it is. And now the NHL announced, Bettman announced that the All-Star game will be here next year in Toronto. So we'll see how that one goes. But the only highlight I saw was a highlight of Connor McDavid in the in one of the skills competitions where he hit the targets, the four targets, the corner targets with four shots. You would expect nothing less from McDavid. Absolutely phenomenal talents. And that was it. That was the only clip I saw, Andrew, of the whole weekend. I'm glad Monday's here. I'm glad NHL is back. We've got some great games over the course of the next 5 days. So I'm really looking forward to it. And we got a couple special guests coming on in the next this week. So we'll see how that goes as well.
Awesome stuff, Carm. Looking forward to today's show. And yeah, it was unbelievable. McDavid asked the NHL if he could not be in the fastest skater competition. He said in the locker room, "I'm good at other things too. Let me show what I can do." And he goes 4-for-4. One thing that was kind of scary, I don't know if anybody caught this, but Cale Makar, man, he was in the fastest skater competition. I don't know if you saw this, Karim, but he fell turning a corner, lost an edge, and I'm sure hockey fans everywhere, Avalanche fans, Avalanche bettors held their breath for a second when he went down, but looked like more of an embarrassing thing than anything. But he was my pick too. I'm not going to lie. He was my pick to win it and he fell. So I never really saw that happen before, but happy he was okay. That's for sure. Today's games we're going to get into. We have the Lightning, Panthers, Flames, Rangers, Islanders, versus Philadelphia Flyers, and the Wild taking on the Arizona Coyotes. Before we jump into the show, I do have a promo code I wanted to give out. It is GOAL199. That's GOAL199. That is a year of NHL plays for the rest of the season. That works for Carmine. It works for myself. It includes the playoffs as well. So any plays we release from this point on, you will get all of our plays for $199. GOAL199 works for Carm, works for me over at wagertalk.com. Guys, let's jump into the first game here. Tampa Bay versus Florida. This is always a great rivalry, Carm. It's always a great game to break down and to go over here. Of course, the All-Star game was in Florida. So not really much traveling for these guys. But of course, the guys that weren't in the All-Star break, I'm sure they did some traveling and went somewhere fun. But Tampa Bay, they're minus 120. Florida, plus 100. And as we approach this game and we take a look at things, you kind of have to wonder, is this Florida team going to make the playoffs? Is they going to make a push? Is this Florida team the real deal? Are they going to have a good second half of the season? Or are the Tampa Bay Lightning just getting warmed up, just getting started? Because the slow start they had is completely gone. They are 8-2 their last 10 games, playing very well as a team overall, looking like a very well-rounded club like they have been for the past 4 or 5 years. Florida Panthers, however, dealing with some injuries as well, which could hurt them. Carm, you have a starting goaltender confirmation for us with the Florida Panthers. But what are your thoughts here? I mean, when I look at this game, I kind of want to take the road team. In general, in spots like this, out of breaks and going to breaks, I like betting the road team in general. You know, with that being said, I already liked Tampa Bay and how well they're playing. Do you think Florida can match up well against Tampa here?
Yeah, no, I get where you're coming from, Andrew. You look at this, and first of all, as far as the goaltending goes, a lot of sites were showing Alex Lyon to play all the games this week, but he wasn't even on the ice this morning at the morning skate. It was Spencer Knight on the ice and Bobrovsky. And Bobrovsky was in the starter circle, which means that Bobrovsky will be in goal tonight, confirmed for Florida. And they need him back as well, too, because their playoff push for the second half starts in earnest tonight. This is a team, I think they're 3 or 4 points out of a playoff spot. But they're fighting for a wild card spot. They are not going to get one of the top three spots in the Atlantic. You've got Tampa, who are, I think, 12 or 13 points ahead of them. That's a lot of points to make up with only 30 games left. They played a few more games than a couple of the teams in front of them, with one being Pittsburgh, I think, that holds that last playoff spot. They played 3 more games than them. But getting Bobrovsky back in goal and sort of this is the second half push. We've seen it with teams in the past. You get past the All-Star break, you get into the second half of the season, and you start to put it together. My biggest fault for this team will still be the coaching. I'm just not a Paul Maurice fan. I'm not. This team is a shell of their former self. The way they're playing right now, the team that won the President's Trophy last year, they're just not playing the same. But you're getting a team with a home record that had probably a confidence-building win against the Boston Bruins just before the break. They looked like they were heading for another loss. Andrew, you know, they scored a goal with about 17 seconds left, sent it to OT, and then win it in OT. And that was on a second of a back-to-back, having played the night previous, of course, and beating a very good Bruins team. Sometimes that's the little kickstart you need. You're getting a team with a winning record at home at plus money. And I get Tampa's a very good team, but Tampa's record is fueled by their home record. They're 20-5 at home, only 12-11 on the road. You have to take that into consideration. Tampa's a very good team, but I'm getting plus money with Philadelphia. With the Florida Panthers here. Small plus money, but with their number one goalie back in net at home, I'm gonna take the Florida Panthers here.
All right, looking towards the Panthers, Carm. I don't even know if I feel like reading out this number after you said you like the Panthers there, but I did see 7 straight wins for Tampa over the Panthers. So maybe tonight's the night that streak gets broken. You mentioned the starting goaltender being back. Do you think the under is in play, or do you think we ride with the streak here with the over? I mean, Florida right now is 7 straight over games. Tampa Bay, they're scoring games as well. I mean, I feel like even if they tried to play defensively, the power plays are really strong. I don't know if these teams are capable of playing defensively against each other. Do you think that we could see an over here, or?
It's one of those ones where I don't want to take the over. I just don't know how these teams are going to come out. I know how I want them to come out for the second half of this season. And we're past the halfway mark anyways. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like 30 games for some teams, you know, 30 to 34 for some other teams. It's one of those things. You get Bobrovsky back in goal, like I said, for them. And you just have to figure, you know, Maurice, it feels like he's trying to mold this Florida team into the team that he had at the Winnipeg. Was more of an under team that played well defensively, but that's just not Florida. The Florida team last year that we remember was a team that could get down 2 or 3 goals and come back and win. They did it a lot last year. They had a lot of scoring. Now, maybe some has to do with, obviously, the offseason big trade that they had, losing a player, gaining a player. I just don't know if the chemistry is the same this year as it was last season. We know pretty much what we're going to get out of Tampa each and every night. They are themselves in a very good spot, Andrew. And then we know that during the last 30 days of the NHL season, Cooper, who kind of goes to that reducing minutes for his stars, getting them ready for the playoff push. So they're still playing extremely well. It's one of those ones where I just don't know. I don't want to go over 6.5 here, and this turns out to be one of those 3-2 games, which it very well could be. I'd be perfectly happy with 3-2 Florida. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I think that, Carm, I would argue that the Panthers miss Huberdeau more than I think the Flames miss Tkachuk. Would that make sense? Do you agree with that? I think Huberdeau is a missing piece right now, and Barkov and Huberdeau had that chemistry that it seems like Barkov is a little bit, you know, it hasn't really been there as much for him since Huberdeau left. So sometimes when trades happen, it takes time for things to develop. You know, you look at the NBA, I mean, there's so many trades that happen all the time, and all of a sudden they're playing on a new team in 2 days and they got to have that chemistry. NHL, you're on different lines, you're playing against different teams, you're on the power play. It takes a lot of time for that chemistry to develop. So we'll see how they can do here tonight against a big rival in Tampa Bay. Calgary and the New York Rangers, two big teams here, two teams with lots to prove. I know I'm going to keep saying the second half of the season, Carm, and you're right. It isn't really exactly the second half of the season. So I'm going to try and not say that now. I was kind of planning on using that a lot today, but post All-Star break here, Calgary plus 105, Rangers minus 125. Total at 5.5 here. I think it's very clear to mention that both the Calgary Flames and New York Rangers probably weren't too happy about the starts to their seasons. They probably don't think they played the best hockey so far and have reached their potential to what they're really capable of playing for this season. I'd say especially Calgary, Carm, but what are your thoughts here on this matchup here? Two teams, an out-of-conference matchup here with the Rangers home favorites.
You know, the surprising thing, Andrew, is you can look at it both ways. With both, as you said, the surprises. But you look at Calgary, and they're on the outside looking in right now as far as a playoff spot goes. But oddly enough, they are literally, while they're sitting in ninth, they are 6 points out of the number one spot in the Pacific, which would give them the number two seed in the playoffs. That's how close I haven't seen the Western Conference this close in years, where top to bottom, not bottom, but top to, like, let's say ninth, are separated by, I think, 8 or 9 points. It is absolutely unbelievable. The Seattle Kraken sit, I think, third behind Dallas and Winnipeg. And they're sitting third with the essentially the number two seed, and they're a 3 or 4 game losing streak from missing the playoffs or being on the outside looking in. That's how close it is. this Calgary team needs to learn how to win on the road. They aren't doing it right now. I think they are 10 and 15 on the road. You need those road points if you're going to make the playoffs. You need to be at least somewhere close to a 500 team on the road and then take care of business on home ice, and they're not doing it right now. And then when you talk about not taking business care of business on home ice, 13 and 13, the record for the New York Rangers at home, which is tough to believe because this team was super tough last year at home. They're just they're starting to pick it up. They're starting to play better. It took a while. And I think you sort of looking moving forward, they have 26 games left. And where are we here? 26 games left. And I think 17 of the, or actually 30 games left, 17 of their games are against teams with a losing record and on the outside looking in. So the Rangers got a bit of a break in the second half of the season, and they're going to start stringing some wins together. While I like the Rangers tonight, I think the better play is the under here. I like the under here. It opened at 6. Those sixes were quickly gone. It's at 5.5 now. And we always talk about those 5.5s. You should just hit the over on the 5.5s. But this is one where I think number one starters in net, Shesterkin and Markstrom in goal. And this is one of those low-scoring affairs out of the All-Star break. And Andrew, it's perfectly normal to say the second half of the season, because we're in the second half of the season. It doesn't mean we're at the 41 game mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I share the exact same thoughts as you here on this game. I do kind of lean towards the road team, just because I kind of like that plus 105 mark there. But I expect a low scoring competitive game here with lots of defense, lots of intensity on the back end, and two great goaltenders, like you just touched on, Carm. Taking a look at some of the history and some trends for both clubs, from what I've taken a look at, it looks like both these teams tend to go under the more rest that they have. And of course, we've both clubs haven't played in several days, and the more rest they have and kind of no back-to-back scenarios and stuff like that. Now they're playing an out-of-conference matchup against a team they aren't really that familiar with. I think a lot of it adds up to be a really defensive matchup. And let's be honest here, that's really what both these teams want to play like. That's really the identity, at least, that the coaches are trying to put forward for these teams. So I think when you look at Calgary, the way they come in, they're going to try and protect their own end, protect the neutral zone, dump and chase style of hockey. And for the New York Rangers, they're very similar as well. I mean, they know they have a great goaltender. They have a blue line as well that will stand tall, and their forwards get in behind the goal line and they go to work. I think that we will see an under 5.5. And Carm, I've talked about this on the show before too, that these 5.5s, you know, I had someone tweet out to me, and I love getting called out for this stuff. He goes, dude, stop tweeting about this and start betting them. Because I kept on tweeting out about how the 5.5s were going under every time there was a 5.5, but I wasn't putting my money where my mouth is. And I got to start doing that more with these 5.5 unders. So I'm betting it tonight. I'm right there with you. And it's crazy how the lowest total has gone under quite a bit.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing, Andrew, is while we're talking here, what happens, what pops up on my screen here, but the starting goalie for the New York Rangers is Yaroslav Halak in goal tonight as the starter. It is not even Shesterkin in goal tonight. It is Halak starting in goal. But I will say this about Halak, 6-6, 2.56 goals against average, a 908 save percentage. And he's won his last three starts, allowing a goal in all three starts. All three games went under the total, being the Vegas Golden Knights 4-1, Columbus 3-1, and the Montreal Canadiens 4-1 in that span. It is funny because obviously these goaltending things come in late, but he has only allowed more than three goals on two occasions this season. But if you look at our Wager Talk live lines, along with the announcement of Halak going in net, the juice on the over went up, I think, about 5 cents the first click. So, which means we might actually see a 6, Andrew.
That'd be exciting. It'd be nice to be able to get that and bet the under on that part. Carm, sometimes what I do as well on these 5.5s is I will take the under 1.5 in the first period, because that's plus 105. Right, so you could even do a split bet, full game, first period. You're getting plus 105 under 1.5 goals first period, then the under 5.5 at a pretty good price as well. for anybody interested in that as well. Because sometimes you do see a slow start. You could see a fast start, then the game slowed down, or you could see a slow start where, you know, there's one goal with like 5 minutes to go in the period that go to the dressing room 1-0 and then kind of go from there. So at plus 105, yeah. That first period, you know, we always talk about first period overs, but first period unders are good as well.
Yeah. And I get it. And, you know, the number one reaction, and we shouldn't make this, is a lot of people look at the backup goalie and just assume there's always going to be goals. We talked about that last year as well, too. I get it with some teams, like when Alex Lyon was in goal for Florida with Spencer Knight being injured, with Bobrovsky being injured, you know, and he got lit up, I think, over a 3-game span for about 16 goals. I get it. It's a little different with a third string goalie, but some of these teams have very capable backup goalies. And at least for the very least, Halak has been a reliable one. He wasn't a reliable one last season for his former team, but it's when you have a good defensive corp in front of you that a goalie can stand out and play well. And we know that the Rangers do have that. So it's not going to change my mind on taking the under, but I'm kind of hoping that there's an overreaction to it, that it's not Shesterkin in goal, that it's Halak in goal, and people just continue to click on that over, and then I get a 6 where I can now take the under on the 6. So let's see if that overreaction gets us an extra half a goal here.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
People love to go against backup goaltenders. That's for sure. They act like they aren't NHL goaltenders. You know, there's a reason why they're there. They're still good goaltenders. That's for sure. I'm with you. We'll try and hopefully get a 6 and go under on that one. Let's jump into our next game here. We have the New York Islanders going head to head with the Philadelphia Flyers here. Islanders minus 140, Philadelphia plus 120 here. Total at 5.5. The same thing we see in most Islanders games. Guys, of course, the thing we have to talk about is the Bo Horvat trade. Really quick, Bo Horvat from the Vancouver Canucks. He was on an expiring deal. They were looking to shop him around, and they found a trade partner. Bo Horvat goes to the Islanders. The Canucks get forward Anthony Beauvillier, Atu Ratti, and a protected 2023 first-round pick. And Bo Horvat just signed for 8x$8.5 million. Just yesterday. So a big move for the Islanders. And I'll tell you what, Carm, the Islanders were a team that if I was having trouble sleeping, well, I would just toss on one of their games. That's kind of how boring they were. So they needed some offense. They needed somebody to come in, add some scoring touch, add something to that lineup to play with Barzal and those guys. And they might have found that there with Horvat. I do think 8.5 is a little bit steep to pay him, but we'll see how that works out for them. Meanwhile, Philadelphia, they're a team that's definitely shown lots of promise. They've been a huge upset team for a large part of the season so far. Here they are at plus 120. What are your thoughts here on this game, Carm?
Yeah, it's the same thing. I think out of the All-Star break, Andrew, we're going to see, at least tonight, we're seeing some teams revert to their number two goalie in this, and the Islanders are one of them. I think they're going to start. It looks like they're going to start. Let me have a look here. It looks like they're going to start Varlamov in this one. Hart's confirmed to go for sure for the Flyers. But this is one where, again, I think the Islanders at the trade deadline, as we approach the trade deadline, are likely going to be a buyer if they can improve. This team is just, what, 2 points out of a playoff spot right now, Andrew, with plenty of hockey to go. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm beating a dead horse or a broken record, but all last season, in the second half of the season, I thought the Islanders were going to make a run after that brutal start to their season. 13 or 14 games to start their season, then come home, the whole COVID issues, and they buried themselves. And they put together some nice 3 and 4 game win streaks, but they also put together some 5 game losing streaks and ultimately didn't make it. 2 points behind Pittsburgh here. This is a team that that's a big addition for them. Get some scoring. You know you've got a defense. You know you've got good goaltending. This is a team that you could probably look at that is going to be a buy-on team sort of moving forward, especially if they add another one or two forwards to the team. We'll see where they go. The Flyers, I expect the second half regression. They overperformed in the first half. I expect something to happen. Whether they're likely going to be a seller, if they have anything that they can sell approaching the trade deadline here. I think it's the Islanders here. You got to take the Islanders. This is pretty much the market mover so far. I think it opened at about 125. It's up to 140 and 145 in some places. And even a high price at Circa, which normally, if they're offering you value on a team, you got to worry about it sometimes. So give me the Islanders here. Islanders get the win on the road.
I agree with you on that pick. I think the Islanders were getting a cheap price. I think that obviously it was a little bit cheaper before, like you mentioned, but even here at minus 140, the Philadelphia Flyers have done a good job of catching teams off guard. Carter Hart has been amazing. I still love to see, Carm, what Carter Hart would be like on a really good team, because I feel like even when he plays really well, nobody really cares, which is kind of sad. I mean, the media works in many ways, and unfortunately, if you have a good game for a bad team, you just don't get talked about enough. But this Philadelphia Flyers team, I just don't think is deep enough to go head-to-head with some of the best teams and some really good defensive teams. It seems to me like Philadelphia matches up better, and the upsets they pull off are against really good offensive teams. When they play defensive-style teams like the Islanders, that's where they kind of struggle, Carm. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, and Andrew, listen, Carter Hart had a great start to the season. If you remember, I think he won his 6 starts in a row at one point and was playing extremely well. But you look at his performance over the last 10 games, and the goals allowed, there's a lot of fours and the threes, fours and sixes in there. He hasn't been the greatest, but again, it's a Philadelphia team that Torts has this team playing competitive each and every night. So you got to give him credit. He doesn't buy into this. We're tanking for the number one pick. He doesn't buy into it at all. He wants his team out there competing. They just aren't as good as a lot of these other teams. I think their points total at the beginning of the season opened up at, I think it was 76.5. And I bet the under on that. And then I saw at the All-Star break, Circa put up a tweeted out the updated points for them. And I think they put it at 80.5. And that's with an 80 point or an 82 point, or sorry, a 40 or 41 point first half of the season. Even they don't expect them to keep it up. I would, if I could get that 80 or 81, I would bet under the total for them. I think we're going to see some second half regression from this team as the season goes on. The fact that they don't have a lot of secondary scoring is going to wear on this team. And then the other fact is that they are going to play a lot of playoff bound teams that aren't going to take any nights off, that are playing because they need the points, and it just becomes that much tougher. The same team you upset at the beginning of the season when maybe the games didn't mean as much are the teams I think are going to hand you the big L in the second half of this season.
That's a really good point. We'll see a lot less of these flat spots, so to speak. Every game matters. Teams are making that race for the playoffs. Unfortunately, though, I would like Bettman to change that playoff format. And I was happy to see Sidney Crosby talk about that as well. He never really sticks his neck into things like that. But, I mean, guys, the Maple Leafs already know they're playing the Tampa Bay Lightning, and we're talking here on February 6th. How does that make sense to anybody? How is that possible that it's pretty much like a 98% chance that's who they're playing? You know, you mentioned how competitive the Pacific Division is. That's about it as far as the competitive divisions, you know, and that's it's kind of tough for hockey. I mean, We're lucky. We bet on hockey at least. Some people don't bet on it, and they got to, I mean, you know, if you're a Leafs fan, you know who you're playing in the first round probably.
And Andrew, listen, I'm going to go one further. I love what Sid is saying. I'm twice your age, I think, at this point. I may have aged during this show. I actually like the old, and I get they can't do it because of travel and what have you, but I love the original format, one of the original formats that they had, which was 16 teams make the playoffs, 16 best teams make the playoffs, 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15, so on and so forth. I loved that playoff. Because you would get you could get an Eastern Conference team playing against a Western Conference team. It is that was a format that I absolutely loved, but you can't do it because of travel. I get it, unless you want the playoffs to go into July. But we're already right. They already go into the middle of June as it is right now. So, but I used to love that 1 versus 16 format.
I mean, I like the 1 versus 8, let alone 1 versus 16, but anything is better than what they have going on right now. That's for sure. One more game, then the buy and sell segment, guys, and then best bets here at the end of the show. Real quick, let's get into the Wild as they take on the Arizona Coyotes tonight. This Minnesota Wild team is a team that have kind of just quietly been under the radar all season long, although they are big favorites in a lot of games they play in, minus 255 tonight. Arizona plus 205 total at 6 here. If you want the puck line, -1.5, +100 for the Wild there, +1.5 for Arizona is -120. And I'll keep it short and simple here, Carm. When I take a look at this game, you talk about flat spots. To me, there's no flat spot here. There's going to be a lot of people arguing for different spots outside the All-Star break. You know, teams to bet on, teams to bet against, totals, under, overs. And I'm sure Ralph Michaels might have some great stats for us on that with some extended rest and things like that. But for the most part, I think that you see a team like the Wild lose to a team like the Coyotes when they just played two really tough opponents and maybe they're in a spot that they're just not as excited about or something like that, you know, a 3-4 nights or a back-to-back. You're not going to see the Wild, I don't think, have a poor performance against the Coyotes in a spot like this. They're going to be refreshed. They're going to be motivated, fired up here. And I read something. I was reading a lot of different articles on The Athletic this weekend. Apparently the Wild, besides Kirill Kaprizov, the entire Wild team and all their partners went away on vacation together. The article pretty much stated how tight-knit and close this team really is. A lot of the players saying it was one of the best, most chemistry type teams they've all been a part of. And it seems to me like this Wild team will get right back into work mode, which is why I want to look at the first period -0.5 goal at +120. We're going to turn that -200 favorite into a +120 by taking them to win the first period. That's my play here, Carm, on this game. What do you have for us?
Andrew, you're such a bugger, man. You took my play. I like that. I like that play as well, too, the first period. This is one of those games, and because I always talk about player props, of course. This is one of those play ones, again, where you can look at some of the Minnesota players and take some shots on goal props. You look at Arizona, and they are the third worst team behind Anaheim and Columbus for shots on goal allowed at 34.82 shots per game. Look at their last five games. They allowed 45, 33, 43, 36, and 39. When you're allowing that many shots on goal, the other team is going to have four or five players that are going to have three or more shots on goal. Those player props are good, like the Boldy one. You can look at the Kiprizov, like his, I think, is at 3.5. There's just a lot of players that you could probably take for them. It's supposed to be Vemelka in goal for Arizona tonight. And I think we're going to see a steady diet of him. He's back from an injury. We're going to see a steady diet of him over the next, I'm going to guess, 2 weeks. He's going to get a lot of the starts because I think they're showcasing him to move him at the trade deadline for a team that's looking for a goalie. So, you know, with that in mind, I still think that you're going to see a ton of shots on goal. You can take Minnesota. I like that first period, -0.5, getting the plus money here. And I'd probably take a shot on the over here and take the over. I don't think Minnesota's taking any days off with in the second, or any games off in the second half of the season, is that this is a very good team. So I'll take the over. I like your first period as well too. I'm not going to steal it from you, and I'm going to take a few of the Minnesota players over the total shots on goal.
Awesome stuff. I am happy we're on the same page. There's no stealing. No. There's no stealing plays. We're all on the same page.
I'm not going to steal it. If I want it from you, Andrew, I will buy it from you, which brings me to the segment that I enjoy every Monday. We've missed it for a couple of Mondays, the buy and sell. So let's see what you've got for everyone here on the buy and sell segment.
This is the buy and sell segment here. Every week we try and find a team to buy or bet on or sell or bet against. And this week we're going to start things off with the buy team. My buy team is going to be the New York Islanders, a team that I was down on for a large part of the first half of the season. But I've seen progression. They went into the All-Star break on a really good note, winning a couple good games, playing well defensively, finding their scoring touch. And they go out, put their money up, and get Bo Horvat from the Vancouver Canucks, a guy I think will help their team in a huge way. And you take a look at their schedule right away here. It's rather light, you know, playing the Canucks, playing the Flyers. They've got lots of games, I think, that are very winnable for them. And they could help us out here in week one post-All-Star break here as our bet on team. Go with the New York Islanders, guys, and watch out for them to get hot this week. As far as my sell team, we're going with the Seattle Kraken. I mean, this Kraken team is playing very well. They've kind of overachieved, though. I mean, their numbers are not really what they should be. What do I mean by that? Well, their shooting percentage is extremely high, which means they're not actually taking that many shots, but they're scoring on a lot more shots than they should be from different angles, from bad spots on the ice. And really, there's only a couple guys doing a lot of the bulk of the work for their team. And when time starts to tick by, I think that's a really bad thing for a team when you aren't getting production throughout the entire lineup. That's kind of what I see from Seattle right now. If there was ever a time to buy on Seattle, it might have been a month and a half ago. Right now, this is a sell team. We're going to get great prices to bet against this team, and I'll look for them to hopefully fall off a little bit. And hopefully this is a good bet against week here for the Kraken. Well, they play the Devils. You know, they play the Rangers. They play the Islanders I just talked about. They play the Winnipeg Jets. It will not be easy for them. Let's bet against the Seattle Kraken here for our sell team of the week. That's it for the buy and sell segment. We'll be back next week with more. Carm, what do you think about those two picks?
I like it, especially like the Islander one. So, their team on the weekend when I was looking at the scheduling, like I said, I think they have a pretty good schedule moving forward. I think Florida also has a pretty good schedule against, you know, looking at non-playoff and playoff type teams. So I'm good with you on that one. I did not look at the Seattle Kraken schedule, so I can't agree or disagree with you, but I'll just take your word for it. How's that?
Hey, that's fine with me. That's fine with me. Let's jump into best bets here on the show. Of course, it is a Monday. We don't always have huge slates on Monday, but post All-Star break, first day back, Carm. What have you found for us here for your best bet?
So, and this is a kind of a weird one, Andrew, as far as it's going to be a shots on goal prop, of course, that I like to take. And it's very... I don't normally take shots on goal props against teams that don't allow a lot of shots on goal. And the New Jersey Devils don't allow a lot of shots on goal. I think they're bottom five as far as shots on goals allowed. But I'm going to take from Vancouver, Elias Pettersson. His number is at 2.5 minus 135. Tocchet's had a little bit of time with this team. I think he becomes, he's getting more ice time. I think he's with more ice time, more shifts. Obviously you hope to get more shots on goal. He's going to be a big part of this team moving forward. And prior to their last three games, which were terrible games for the Vancouver Canucks, he had gone 8-2 over the number. So I'm looking for him to get back on track here. We usually see Elias Pettersson with some 3.5s, and it's at 2.5 because the team is struggling. I'm going to take advantage of this 2.5 minus 135 and jump on that one. So Elias Pettersson, the Vancouver Canucks, over 2.5 shots on goal, minus 135 is your show best bet. One soccer playoff for clients, which is not up for sale, but the one-day all-access pass on Mondays is $17. You can grab that and get, I have four plays up in the NHL tonight, three sides, sides and totals, and one player prop.
Awesome stuff there, Carm. I love that player prop there with Pettersson, because at 2.5, it's a guy, like you said, you usually get 3.5 with. And because they're struggling, you're getting a really, really good number there with him. So I like that quite a bit. And it is $9 Monday at wagertalk.com, not just for us, but every single handicapper. You can get their best bet of the day for only $9. Speaking of best bets of the day, well, my top client play is a 4% play today, and I'm on a 20-6 sides run in the NHL. Totals have not been great for me this year. That's an understatement, but the sides run has been great. I'm on a 20-6. My last 26 side plays have a best bet up for tonight. And my best bet here for the Puck Time show is going to be the under in the Flames and Rangers game. Two teams I think are very, very strong defensive teams. With that short break they had, that will help them out even more. We'll see both coaching staffs preaching to protect their own end of the ice. Two teams with great penalty kills. All of that, to me, leads to an under in that matchup between the Calgary Flames and the New York Rangers. Under 5.5 goals here, guys. Awesome stuff here. Happy to be back here on Puck Time with Carm. Tomorrow we have Don Buster joining us. And a quick recap, Carm with Elias Pettersson, over 2.5 shots on goal, minus 135. And I have the Flames and Rangers under 5.5 goals, plus 105. Thanks to Carm, thanks to our producer Dan, and all of you guys for joining us here on Puck Time.
Did you know the team to score last has won the Super Bowl each of the last 13 years? If you're looking to enhance your big game betting experience, visit wt.buzz/sb57props for Wager Talk's annual party prop sheet, Ralph Michaels' historical prop betting result and betting tips from your favorite handicapper. And if you're looking to add some wagering entertainment for your gathering, download and print out Super Bowl party prop sheet, which features a number of easy to answer, easy to follow questions to keep everyone engaged from the coin toss to the final whistle. Follow Wager Talk on Twitter during the game as we tweet out the results as they happen. Visit wt.buzz/sb57props for all the details.